This podcast is powered by Norton.
Everybody, hello again. True Vegan Radio is airing again after a long, hot summer. We'll be turning into fall mood. And with me at this time, I'm very happy to announce Keith Scum and Hurl Scum, a lovely couple from Wellington, Canada, that is, right? Which is close to Toronto, I think. And the reason why I have you guys on is your deep experience in beer. Maybe just say a few words, who you are, introduce yourself, and then we'll get into beer talking.
Sounds good. Why don't you start there, Hurl?
I'm Heather Hurl Scum, wife of Keith, guilty by association in the beer world, connoisseur, and yeah.
She's had plenty on her own.
As we all have. Yeah. So Keith, Keith, yeah, what took you into the beer business?
Keith, I started in the beer, working in the beer industry 10 years ago, actually, just shy of it right now, working for a friend. He started a beer company, and we used to play in punk rock bands in Toronto, and he moved from Toronto to like 6 hours away into a tiny, tiny little place near Ottawa to start making beer. And at that time, I was only drinking generic brands and just kind of stopped in to see what my friend was doing with his brewery. Like, hey, isn't this cute? But lo and behold, he made amazing beers. And the minute that I had the opportunity to apply for a job there, I started working there. And I've been a delivery driver. I was a delivery driver for about 2 years and a sales rep since then. And I've gotten my first level Cicerone and my first level Prudhomme, which I don't know if Prudhomme applies anywhere else in the world other than Canada. So.
I know there's a soccer goalie from Belgium that went by the name of Prudhomme. this is 80s soccer knowledge. But what's that? You gotta explain Prudhomme.
Awesome.
What is it? What is Prudhomme?
For us, Prudhomme basically is like Prudhomme is like Cicerone. You know, like in wine, you have a sommelier, in beer, you have a Cicerone. The person who understands beers, what pairs well with what, how it's made, the styles, the off flavors, if you happen to have that. So Prudhomme is basically the Canadian equivalent of a Cicerone. Mm-hmm. So I did both to kind of cover both bases, but I only went so far. So,
but that must be a nice mice education to get to know. You drink a lot of beer until you become one, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, I can see you on the camera, but I can obviously describe you. You look not too fat. So you must have done a good job in keeping yourself slim. So that's kudos to you.
I told you earlier he was exercising, so we couldn't.
It takes a lot of work to not get fat.
Yeah. I bet you.
So right now, actually, what I'm drinking is like the brewery that I work for. This is our beer. We're called Bose. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
And we're drinking Lug Tread. This is actually a Kolsch style. So you're from Cologne.
Yes.
This is a Kolsch style beer that we're drinking here right now. So from around your, like from Cologne, right? Isn't that what Kolsch means? Yeah.
That's the go-to brand here. What kind of different brands in beer would you like to open up with, as you're opening up the beer universe for the audience? What types of beer would you happen to know or share with the audience, and maybe give a good hint or recommend?
Oh boy, that's so hard. It's like trying to tell somebody like what the best pizza parlor is, right?
Yeah. But everybody knows that. Has his own, right?
like you'd mentioned, like there's times where like in the summer you kind of want to go with a wheat beer or something like that, right? In the winter you tend to go heavier with stouts. I tend to find like a lot of the like cherry chocolate stouts have a richness to them, and you get the chocolatey flavor, but you're getting more like a lower alcohol, because a lot of the time people are worried about the alcohol level in beer, but they're not concerned about the flavor.
Yeah, that's a typical Tubingen problem.
Yeah, right.
It's a Finnish Tubingen problem, like, because as I'm told, the Finns, they will always, when they buy cans of beer, they would always first of all check the alcohol percentage and then decide on or go on deciding. So,
and I get it, right? There's those times where you're like, hey, I just need to get liquored. So yes. I would go for like an Old English or something like that, malt liquor that would get me ripped. But there are other times where I actually just want to enjoy the flavor. And, you know, in the spring or something, have an IPA. So you get that kind of, you know, a little bit of that bitter hoppiness mixed with the malt kind of feel, if you know what I mean. So.
What is your impression on what's the most popular beer in craft? We're talking mostly craft breweries. We could skip the PBRs and everything. Everybody knows it and everybody can have one. But if you're thinking craft brewery, is the IPA and the most popular craft beer brewery's beer? Is that the most go-to beer, would you say?
Oh, the most popular style? Is IPA the most popular style? Is that what you're asking? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it really is. Yeah. When it comes to craft beer, people, like, you can drink Pilsners and they're pretty like basic. They're like an entry level kind of beer, right? They're not going to be offensive. They're going to be simple. So a lot of craft breweries tend to not make that kind of beer because they want to do something interesting, right? It's the idea is like, if every other beer company in the world is a Toyota, then craft beers want to be a Ferrari. So they want to build Ferraris and make cool racing beers.
Yeah.
So they don't want to do it with a Pilsner because that's a pretty pedestrian kind of beer. They do now more so to invite people into the world of craft beer, but IPAs tend to be the go-to for craft beer because they can experiment. They've got hoppiness and they've got high alcohol because like a lot of IPAs are like 6% or higher, so it's getting pretty fun.
Yeah. But why would you say that, since IPAs sort of tastes more, pardon me, but more complex, if I can even apply that word, but since it's a for a regular beer drinker who goes into a craft beer brewery, and the most promoted beer is an IPA, and it grabs one. Would you say that an IPA is a beer that it's hard to distinguish good and bad ones? Is that because it's so complex and so different?
It is hard. You know why? Because you can hide a shitty beer behind just dumping more hops into it. And then it's hoppy and bitter, and people go, wow, isn't that a great IPA? You might have screwed up your beer, but you kind of cover it, right? It's like just putting a paint roller over your bad beer. So it just tastes like hoppiness. So yeah.
What makes a good IPA a good IPA, would you say?
Balance. Balance meaning if you've got a high alcohol beer, you want to have a high level of bitterness because you don't want it to taste boozy and you don't want it to taste so bitter that you can't drink it. So, you know, if it's, you balance the alcohol with the hoppiness, and if it tastes nice enough, it may shock your palate. You may go, whoa, that wasn't what I was expecting. And you give it a minute and you go, but I like that. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, we were watching a TV show last night and somebody was eating oysters in it, and I've never eaten an oyster in my life, but I was like, if you didn't hate it the first time you did it, you probably it's probably a good thing, and then you know you're eating something good, right?
That's right. You were mentioning the lager, the pills, right? So, and you were mentioning that it's a more like a pedestrian beer. It's a common beer for average beer lovers. So, do you happen to know, or why don't we think together why Turbo Negro put out the Turbo Pils as their first beer? Are we considered? Are Turbo Jugends considered pedestrian beer drinkers?
Are we pedestrian?
That's what I'm openly asking. I mean, I will talk to Happy Tom in a few weeks, I guess. I'll ask him the same
question.
We are
so vanilla punk rock.
Yeah, I mean, really. Have you tasted it?
You know why I think they did it? I think they did it. They did it as a pilsner because they know all of us drink all day and all night. So they made it like a simple beer that we can enjoy constantly. Mm-hmm.
And not get so messed up that
and in huge quantities.
Right?
Yeah.
So Happy Tom and Rune, I think, are the brains behind the beer. It's only guessing, but still, they were thinking again, and they made us drink all. They wanted to do a beer that we can drink all day and night, right? And it doesn't fill you up as much.
Yeah,
I mean, it fills you up with the quantity, but not as intensively as an IPA or a wheat beer would, right?
Yeah, because a wheat beer, you're kind of getting annoyed because you're drinking, and I'm not drunk yet. This sucks. But
and you don't need the meal, right?
This will give you a good buzz, and then you keep it going all night.
The Turbo Pils. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So what if you think of yourself, you would brew a Turbo Jugend beer? What kind of beer would you brew? How would you go about it? The same way, the pedestrian way as Turbo, or a more sophisticated one way?
We actually did. Us as Turbo Jugend Wellington County made a beer a few years ago that we called. I don't know if you can see that, but
let me describe that for the audience, for the listening audience. It's a denim. Is it a sticker or what's the word for it? It's a denim.
Yeah, like a label, denim label.
And it's called Turbo Brew.
Yeah, we called ourselves Turbo Brugens.
That's a good name. And it's called
Apocalypse grew it.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Darkness.
Hello, Darkness, yeah. And we brewed it with our local brewery called Royal City Brewing. So they're small guys here. They brought all of us in as a Jugend. And we were like, we want to make a beer just for us. And they said, let's do it. What do you want to make? And we all talked about it. We said, let's make a gruit style. So for people who don't know what a gruit is, it's actually kind of like the original style of brewing beer where you don't have hops in the beer. Hops are considered a traditional ingredient in beer, but way back when, you know, if you were on your farmstead, you had water, malt, and yeast, and you had some other plant. It wasn't necessarily hops. So you put that plant in and you'd make a beer out of it, right? So we did that at our brewery, local brewery here, and we used, was it cranberries? And
oh God, it was so many years ago.
It was cranberries and the brewmaster's Christmas tree.
Oh, really? But you cut out the candles, right? You threw them away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's good. And the plastic and whatnot.
Yeah, we made that because a gruit style is basically do whatever you want, however you want, and see what happens. And, you know, that style of beer is like the kind of music that we all love. Be yourself by yourself and just do what you do. And sometimes you'll make these things that are amazing. Sometimes it won't work well, but you tried. And that's what we did. So.
Yeah. And the brewery had us in, and as a group, there was like 10 or 12 of us all there for the whole day, like stirring everything up and heating everything up. And we were there for a good 8 hours or whatever, you know, brewing the beer. And then a few weeks or however long it was later, like we actually made it. So it was a pretty cool reward. Yeah.
How many bottles did you do?
We only did two two-fours, so 48 bottles, so that we could all have one, and the rest we put in kegs and then put it at the local bar so that we could just go and hang out and drink it when we're having our meetings.
Oh, that's so, that. Well, that's cool. And did everybody let you have this one? But they charged you for it, right?
Oh yeah, rightfully so.
Which is okay, I would say.
It was a bit cheaper for us, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it was good. I mean, like we said, we killed a keg in 69 minutes.
Yeah, we did a 50 liter keg, and we how fast can we actually do this? And it wasn't just pouring pints off. It was like you had to finish a pint and bring back your pint glass and pour a new one. And we killed 50 liters in 69 minutes.
69.
Yeah.
50 liters in 69 is that?
So basically like...
The naughty number? I always need like those cognitive bridges in my head. So because what I will do, and this is also the reason why I decided and wanted to talk to you, I'd like to challenge you
guys. Sorry.
What's that?
Oh, there you go. Now you're back. You froze on us for a second there, but you're back.
Okay. So what I would like to do is I would like to challenge the Jugends worldwide, not only to brew their own beer, but also to let me know how long it takes them, the two Jugends in Finland and Denmark and Sweden, to kill a 50-liter keg. Right? I don't know what a keg is in Svensk, but you'll figure that out. Go ahead. The internet.
And there were only 18 of us that were actually like in the UN. So just to put a number
that's
on
a good KPI as well. Yeah. 18 people. Yeah. Because it's a matter of, yeah. Okay. This will be a new Turbid Olympic sport, 50 liter. I don't know. I don't have it in gallons or whatever, but 50 liters, 69 minutes, 18 people max drinking it.
Right? I think TJ Scumfuck could do it.
I know lots of Jugends actually that I will be not only talking to but visiting, or I have talked to them, and there's some pretty badass beer drinkers out there, especially the Finns. And I heard that the people who drink the most per country per person is the Czech Republic, I think, right? What is it, 150 liters per year?
I remember Austria. Reading those.
What's that?
Poland was high up too as well.
Yeah, those Eastern European countries. Austria as well. Austria is worse than Germany. I'm Austrian. So I don't know what's our problem, but we seem to have lots. But
get on it.
As historically proven, we have problems in Austria. But that's a podcast for another day. Actually, it's the first podcast we ever did. I picked up the topic. That's cool.
Just,
so
we're just dumb Canadians.
You're polite and nice Canadians. That's what you are. That's what we all hear.
You're a sweetheart. I'd hug you if you were here.
Yeah, we'll find the day.
You do more than that.
Honestly, since I'm traveling to Franconia, it's a topic for maybe one of the next podcasts. Franconia is a part of Bavaria, a northern part of Bavaria, and they have the most awesome beer. Old school, awesome beer. Like unfiltered and you'll just die. I mean, if for some reason the Welttubing attack should not or never take cannot take place in Hamburg, which I would never want to think, but if there has to be another place, it's got to be Bamberg in Franconia, but that's a topic for another podcast. Mm-hmm. So, what sort of is that the only beer you were just mentioning? Your beer, is that the only beer you have been making for the Tube Jugend?
Jugend wise, yes. I mean, we've brewed beers ourselves just to do them. We did a an apple porter. We did a dandelion wheat beer. We did a Russian imperial stout. And that was just at home, you know, like on the stove, and then using like a 5 gallon jug to ferment, stuff like that. We've done a lot of that. So the idea of actually doing the beer with our Jugend was because of our interest in brewing beer ourselves, and thought, let's do this. This is awesome. So
have you heard of any other Jugends worldwide doing are you in contact with the beer brewing Jugends? And are you guys trading or exchanging beers? I mean, I can only announce that on the podcast. So if any Jugends out there are brewing beers, here's an expert, and maybe Jugends can, instead of patches and whatnot, but the old school tiny buttons, maybe exchanging beer bottles would be something to, you know, you can ship anything. Yeah.
You know, like, well, to be honest, as soon as you said in Bavaria that there's a brewery that's your favorite, and I don't take that lightly. So I kind of want to trade some beers with you anyway, even if it's not beers we've made, because if you say that it's that good, and my only experience with Bavarian beer is like to buy a can of Bavaria, is probably, right?
That hurts. And
And it'd be like somebody who goes, oh, Canada, you guys make like Canadian or Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is made in our hometown, actually, believe it or not. And
really? It's and then a Milwaukee beer, or is it just for the Canadian, right? No.
Yeah. It's brewed. Yeah. It's a contract brewery, just like Sapporo. Sapporo is the same idea. Like it's actually brewed in, it's brewed in a town that's close enough to a border, like Sapporo is, so that they can brew it outside the country and then ship it into the country, and it's still an imported beer, right? So
I got it.
Yeah, but anyway, I'd rather trade beers with you folks than
any, since I'm a practical person, do you have any recommend, how are you familiar with how kind of sand beers, any cases you can buy that can guide or protect the bottle? You can send, is there anything, maybe that's a new market, but I would think you have to put lots of foam around it to send it and trade it.
Oh yeah. What I normally do is if I've traded beers with people, cause I've sent them to, I don't think I sent any to Mike Cornell, but we sent some to Bobby, right?
Bobby Wilcox. Yeah.
Okay. And what I normally do is I just wrap them up in bubble wrap. Just get a sheet of bubble wrap and wrap each bottle and put them in the box. The bubble wrap will protect it. The biggest issue is whether or not the beer is pasteurized, because if it's pasteurized, it'll live long enough to travel. But if you have like your regular, you know, small town brewery that doesn't pasteurize their beer, if it's only fresh for so long, it's got to get where it's going to be, because it's going to get hot as it's traveling and changing temperatures and all that stuff. Yeah. So that gets into the real beer nerd stuff. Sorry. I don't know if you care about that.
Yeah. But maybe that's why fall is a good beer trading season, because it's not that, at least on the northern part of the hemisphere. It's okay. Let's announce that.
Good point.
Fall and winter is a good beer trading season in the northern hemisphere. Yeah. I never thought about that, but it's true.
I like that plan. I'm up. I'm game. I'll send you a few.
I've done a beer for my annual Christmas party in Vienna, and it was an IPA, an old-fashioned half a liter dark brown bottle, as we used to have in Germany and Austria, maybe also elsewhere as well. And I call it, and I have to announce that probably
half liter bottle. Yeah.
Yes, type of like this. It's an old school. Of working class beer bottle, half a liter, and we called it IP against Jack Wolfskin. And Jack Wolfskin, you're happily not familiar with it. It's a brand for protective gear, but usually only teachers and I don't know, old women with short hair and glasses, and they just wear it in the inner cities in Europe and Germany, and I just hate the look of it. So I made a beer, and it shows a fist that smashes the swastika or for the German listeners, the Hakenkreuz, right? So I had the gegen Nazis, the against Nazis, right? This patch, and it smashed a good old Czech wolfskin paw of a bear. And having that design made me very happy. And it's I'm thinking about doing patches of that, just the destruction of Czech wolfskin.
That'd be great.
I think you should. I didn't realize that there were like are there like a lot of like really like people who are into beer in the Jugend? Because I didn't know how deeply.
Yes, I mean, as far as I know, I mean, beer drinking, beer, and beer as in alcohol, everybody is in. But I've seen some, I've talked to many people about having good beers and talking about, like, I mean, maybe we can set up a Trubigan beer connoisseurs page, or for that exchange of beers, especially. Yes, I mean, you get the impression that IPAs are big there. The drinkable, I don't know, the drinkable Helles, right? Or the unfiltered are big. That's my European impression of it.
Yeah, and you know, like a lot of North American beers, like they pull from those old school, old European styles, like you said, like a Helles Lager and stuff like that. But there are actually really a lot of interesting beers going on in North America that might not travel your way. And like for us, like remember, like when we go over there, well, when we did get to go over there, like we'd have friends take us to the the abbeys and stuff like that, and you're like, hey, I'm drinking a beer at an 800 year old brewery, right? So for us, we kind of feel like we're new kids when it comes to making beer, but there's still some stuff going on.
I personally really like the development, and okay, I get it that not every craft beer is a good beer, and old school German beer is you know, they're breweries that have been around for hundreds of years. And as they are not growing too big, I have to say they usually keep the quality, and that's really good.
Yeah, that's totally, yeah. And I think quality is sometimes an issue with a lot of the breweries in Ontario. Yeah. I can't say for all of Canada, but Ontario, quality can be an issue because, I mean, your ingredients change every year. Your water table changes through the year, so it can, and those are, sounds so silly, but those are things that severely impact the way your beer actually tastes. So what were you going to say though about
the one we had to order from the liquor store that was from Belgium, from the monastery?
Oh, that West Vlettingen beer.
They
say, I don't know if I'm saying it right. It's like West Vlettingen.
Yeah, but
it was a monastery.
It's a Dutch beer. Is that the Trappist beer? Trappist beer.
Yeah. It is a Trappist beer.
Yes, yeah. I've had that, and it's really strong. And I've had one. It costs $16, which is expensive for European standards. But then again, if I only need one in a lifetime, because it's so rich, and it also almost tastes like liquor. And you only kind of
like boozy.
Yeah, it's really boozy. And I've had this, and I, you know, crossed that off my list. But if I can, I stick to cloudy or Helles. That's what the unfiltered ones. What I would go to. But good. I mean, as we all can see, I mean, there's tons of way of getting your own Trubigen beer as well. I would like to ask the audience to get active and talk to local breweries. Maybe they can, as they did in Wellington, grab you by the horns and do you a favor, and they will produce your own beer, and which we all love to share and drink. And as I'm continuing this podcast in fall, I would like to talk to you out there. If you have any special beer or want to talk beer, or if you think your beer is the best, or your town beer, I've heard of Portland being Birvana, the best beer town. I would challenge Bamberg for that, put them against them, or maybe Pilsen in the Czech Republic. Go ahead, we'll find it out. We'll have a contest. Okay, guys, anything you wanted to add on the beer conversation, on the first of the series of beer conversations?
Oh, well, how about this? How about in order to kickstart the whole concept, what, like you said you like Helles lagers and you like cloudy beers. So yes. How about we each, I don't know if you can, but you and I, like us, make our own styles and then send them to each other and see what happens.
Yes, we should be doing that at around Christmas.
And if anybody else wants it, they can get a bottle of it too, and then they got to trade us for whatever they make.
Yes, I'm on it. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Okay, guys. So thank you so much for taking the Jugend on the board of the of beer knowledge. So we should be on board now. We have learned a lot. I hope I'll get you guys on the podcast again. And yes, we'll be the beer trading. I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Hurley. And talk to you soon. And hopefully, as we are, we'll be able to do some Daft Punk tourism. I'd be happy to hop over the pond and see you in Wellington, which is close
Please.
To Toronto.
Please.
Yes.
I will do so.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We wouldn't be the Trouba Jugend radio station if you wouldn't give the Trouba Jugend bands a chance to put their music on the podcast. And as some of you know, or might have recognized, a young gentleman that was just talking to me, who went by the name of Keith Scum, he's actually in a band. And this very band has played the Welt Trouba Jugend Tage, the Jugend Tage back then, as it was called in 2013. And they were actually on stage in Europe, in Hamburg, and they were performing on the Friday at the Grünspan in 2013. This was one day before Christmas. Another Trouba Jugend band supported Turbo Negro for the main act of this very weekend. So some of you guys might have actually seen this band in Hamburg on stage. And I'm very happy actually to announce that Mr. Keith Scum, who was on a podcast before talking about beer, he is actually playing that band that goes by the name of Maximum Rock and Roll. They are based in Toronto, Canada. They've been around the block for ages. They've been around the rock and roll world for more than 10 years. So I'm very happy to announce Maximum Rock and Roll as the cream puff of this month's episode. And the song that I'm going to feature is called DFF. Enjoy.